Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 13. And again, thank you for being in the Lord's house and looking for what God has for us in the Word of God this morning. And as that song said, we will be home before dark. Spiritual darkness is going to take over one day for a while. After the church is raptured out, it's going to be mighty dark for 7 years in this old world. I'm glad we're going to be in a land of light, we that are saved. Amen. Hey, it is a joy and good to be born again. Amen. It doesn't matter how we feel today, it's still good to be saved. Amen. I'm not here because of how I feel. Amen. Most of us probably curled back up in the bed. We went by how we felt today. Hey, if our circumstances dictated whether we're here or not, most of us had never made church today. But because we're born again, God put a desire in us, we made our way here today. And by the way, let me go ahead and say this. If we don't shout, nobody jumps up, runs, hey, it's still a good service. Why is that, preacher? The Word of God's being open. And every service is good, because we've gathered around the Word and we're here to worship the Lord. So we know it's going to be good because of that. Amen. And we praise the goodness and the name of the Lord for it today. Genesis chapter 13, you're well and able to stand. Genesis chapter number 13. And I'm going to read just verse 10 and 11 for the sake of time. We'll look at other places in Genesis and in the New Testament as well today, but I will look at a thought God began stirring my heart on Friday and throughout this weekend, and it just heavy upon me, try to help us a little bit in our Christian life as we try to serve God in a sin, cursed, and wicked world. Amen. Genesis chapter 13, and beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, for the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today one more time you have let us assemble together here in the house of God this side of heaven. Lord, I'm thankful for the reminder of the songs that we've heard here today. Lord, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad we are a people headed for a city whose builder and maker's God. Lord, I thank you today for this opportunity to open the Word of God. May the Word of God find its resting place in our hearts and change our lives. Save sinners, stir your people, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We find here a man by the name of Lot in our text. We find that he is Abraham's nephew. He is came out of the Chaldees with Abraham. And yet as time goes on, they both become rich. They get a lot of cattle, as this chapter tells us, and there begins to be strife between these two. And we find Abraham tells Lot, you need to make a choice. You've got to. We cannot stay like we are. We stay together, it's going to be a fight. It'll be a fuss all the time. So we're going to have to separate. Now I will say this. If Lot had had real good sense, he had just said, I'll sell the cattle and stay with you. That's really what Lot should have done. But instead, he looked out and he chose him another way and another place. And so we find that they separate. Now, the life of Lot is an interesting study. For Lot, we did know God. How do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible says that he is a righteous man in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. So by the authority of Scripture being compared to Scripture, Lot did know God. He was a man that one time had fellowship with God. But something happened in the life of Lot. Lot went a different direction than he should have gone. Now, matter of fact, we could even look in Luke 17 where Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We are seeing a repetition of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. We have a lot going on in this old world today. Then also in Luke 17, down around verse 30, 31 through there, it talks about remember Lot's wife. Not a lot taught about her in Scripture, but what we see, we ought to take to heart that we don't make the same mistake that his wife made. But I began looking at the life of Lot. Beginning a text I read to you, I want to preach just a few minutes on this subject of Lot's downward spiral. Lot's downward spiral. For again, he did know God. At one time, he is around Abraham and the altars that Abraham builds and sacrifices and worships God. But something happened in the life of Lot. Now, I want everybody to look at me a minute. I'm concerned of people in our generation. There's a lot of folk who are on a downward spiral spiritually. Amen. Everybody is not serving God like they should. Not at Gateway, not at any church. And we get in a mess because we're doing the same things that Lot did. Amen. Now, I'm not just preaching to young people, though I am preaching to them. I'm preaching to them, middle-aged, senior saints, because we're seeing a lot of people in every age group make shipwreck of the faith. That's right. Now, this ain't going to make you shout, but I do pray it helps you from making shipwreck. Hey, it breaks a pastor's heart when people fall by the wayside. It breaks the church's heart when people fall by the wayside. You don't have to get snared by sin. You shouldn't get snared by sin. We should serve God and look for his return until the day he does come. But some along the journey have fallen. They falter. They get in a mess. And I believe they're doing the same things that Lot did. Preacher, how did this downward spiral work? Well, first of all, in Genesis 13 and verse 10, it started with a look. That's all it took. Are you hearing me? Look at your verse. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Hey, his downward spiral began with a look at another place. Now, I want to help you out here. Hear me good. That is not just happened a glimpse at something. Amen. Every one of us see the world. Amen. We see all that's out there. We are at times, we it catches our attention for a fleeting moment and we go right back at serving God. Hey, the glimpse is not a problem because you ain't getting out of this world without a glimpse of it. But what gets you in trouble is when you begin to look at the world. That is a long gaze. Amen. That is casting your eyes and holding your eyes there. You get in trouble. See, Lot had began looking over there because of his cattle. He was so blessed that he let the world rob him of the blessing of God. It begins with a look. There's some of you right here today, you've already begun to gaze at another place out in this world. Though you're here every time the doors are open, Though you are saved, yes, you are saved, no doubt about it. I believe you love God on the deep end of your heart, but something has got your eye, and you're beginning to look away out from the house of God and from the God of heaven, and you've got your eyes upon something in this world or someone. Amen. You being quiet ain't gonna make me nervous a lick. Ain't gonna bother me a bit. Because I want you to hear me this morning. Hey, there are so many who had they just did as God told the church of the way out of sin, get that eye salve. You got eye trouble. You need that Holy Ghost eye salve that you can see the Lord like you should see him. Get you some Holy Ghost blinders for your eyes. You hear me? Dr. Kenyon mentioned Sunday school about using a plow. I've seen them plow with horses and mules growing up. And they put blinders on the mule. They put blinders on the horse. Why? So he'll just look at the end of the row. That's what you and I as God's people need. We need some good Holy Ghost blinders on that we don't look to the right, we don't look to the left, and we sure don't look behind us. Amen. Hey, can I also use this illustration for those of you who ain't got an idea about plowing with a horse? Your automobile, you have a rearview mirror in it, is that right? Is it not smaller than your windshield? It's not that big. The windshield's bigger. Why is that, preacher? You'd be looking forward more than back. Amen. Now, hey, there's some good things back there, Brother Ben. And ain't nothing wrong with glimpsing back them good days in your life, those mile markers God worked in your life. Nothing wrong with looking back a little bit. But if you drive looking back all the time, you're going to wreck. Amen. See, I'll tell you something. Hear me now. I've been in this thing a long time like some of you. And boy, most of us was raised in the heyday of the glory and everything else. And we're down here toward the end of this thing. The lay of spirits on the land. And if we ain't careful, we'll live out the rest of our Christian life talking about how it used to be. Say amen or nod your head. Hey, you're spending all that time looking behind and you're missing out on what's here. Amen. Hey, Lot's downward spiral began with a simple look. He began to gaze. He began to be fascinated and fixed upon that well-watered plain. Amen. Oh, friend, you realize throughout the Bible, that's how it's always affected mankind. Eve got affected by a look, Genesis 3 and verse 6. That's right. Achan was in the battle. Now you listen to this a minute. He is in the thick of the battle there at Jericho. He is fighting on the side of right. He is doing everything correct. He is on the side that has the victory. And yet he said this one. He got caught finally. He said, and when I saw that Babylonish garment, and that gold and that silver. Hey, his eyes got off the battle. See, that's what's wrong with some of you right here today. As the time you was in this thing, you was fighting a good fight of faith. But today, your eyes are looking somewhere other than the battle. Amen. Oh, friend, we see David also. He got in trouble not being where he should have been. And then he looked. He saw Bathsheba on that rooftop. Hey, Lamentation still declares it. Chapter 3, verse 51. Mine eye affected mine heart. Amen. Hey, where are you looking at this morning? See, some of you come in here and all you've seen since you've been here is all of our faults. Amen. You looked at, well, he don't do it like that one. If I was a singing leader, we wouldn't have sung that song today. Hello? What is that proof of? Where we're looking. Amen. Because you see, when we come in here, once we entered this sanctuary, and Brother Tim said, let's stand. He called that song out. Hey, everybody else is out of my mind. I'm here to worship now. Whether you get in it or not, I want you to, but if you don't, you're not going to hinder me. Amen. Why, I'm not looking your way. Sometimes I get the preacher folks say, "Boy, preacher, you're looking me up. I don't even see you half time." That's right. Because, hey, I'll tell you why. If I got looking at Baptist faces, I'd just close my Bible and go home now. You ought to get up here and have to preach sometime. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, it's all about where we're looking at. See, his downward spiral, everything that wound up being bad in Lot's life started with him looking at the wrong thing, at the wrong place. Amen. So we see his downward spiral began to look. Then let me say, secondly, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 11, he not only looks, got him started, but then he left. What did he leave, preacher? Look at verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Here it is. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Him and Abraham part ways. Now here's what I'm getting at. He left the people of God. Abraham is the father of the faith. Abraham is the friend of God. Abraham is an altar builder. He worships God and he serves God. Hey, but Lot separated. He left the people of God. There's folk here today, you know, individuals, they left the house of God and look where they are now. Amen. It don't ever end well. And most people now, I'm not being mean, but I am being honest right here. A lot of people that'll leave a fundamental church don't go to another fundamental church. They go somewhere that's more liberal, more easygoing, a place I can fit in and hide, a place that no requirements, no rules, no regulations. They never go up most of the time. They most of the time go down. It happens when you leave the people of God. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be around saved folks than anybody I know. I'm talking about folks saved by the grace of God, full of the Spirit of God, living for God. That's my crowd. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't really like being around church folks. What's wrong with you? It ain't us. I hate to bust your bubble. It ain't us. If you'd rather be around the world, there's something wrong with you. See, Lot got in trouble. It just down, 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 down. Why? He looked off and he left the people of God. Hey, he left the places of God. Brother G.W., altars there where Abraham was. He said, that's too much altar going for me. Hello? See, that's when I hear folk along up and down the Mid-Atlantic states. That's where I preach, and I've never heard it here, thankfully, but I've heard other places. I've heard people say, why do they go to the altar all the time? Why shouldn't they? Huh? See, that them that go to the altar a lot, that don't bother me. But I tell you, that don't make me nervous. I say, thank God. I hope they live there till Jesus comes. It's the other crowd, you can't get them off that pew. They made a move when they made a profession of faith, but they ain't been down the altar since then. That worries me. That concerns me. Amen. And for somebody said they don't need to do all that, there's something wrong. Amen. Because, ladies and gentlemen, to be of the people of God will bring you by the altar. It'll bring you to the house of God. Hello. Amen. But when you begin that downward spiral, you begin to separate from the people of God, and you begin to separate from the place of God, and you'll wind up separating from the power of God. Amen. Hey, friend, today, all that you're going on in your life, that downward spiral, you know you're in it. Because it started with you, look, you begin looking off. Now you begin that separating part. You're leaving the people of God. You're not. One time, boy, you love being around church folk. You love going to the Sunday school. You love going to preaching. You love going to a revival. You love Jubilee. You loved the youth ministries. You loved everything about church. But now you're beginning to veer off from everything. Don't want nothing to do with it anymore. You see, you're on a downward spiral, and God's put this man of God in your life this morning that tell you you need to stop where you are. You need to repent where you are and get right with the Lord and don't go down the road you're going. Amen. Hey, that look started it. Then he left. But then I want you to notice he began leaning. Genesis 13:12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Boy, that's a good place to live, ain't it? Land flowing with milk and honey. The promised land. That's where Abraham said, I'm just going to hang around Canaan. That's where I've decided a long time ago to be, is spiritual Canaan. Amen. I'd like for you to come over and try the grapes, the milk, the honey. Hey, you ever taste it, you'd find out how sweet it really is over here. Amen. I know the world looks at me like I'm crazy. Because I get red-faced preaching and I'll shout and wave my hand. Let them say what they will. Hey, I'm enjoying the trip home. Amen. Hey, Abraham stayed in the land. But look at it, verse 12. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He began leaning the wrong direction. Amen. He began to get more of a liberal, modernist slant to him. Now, I preached to people in days gone by. They didn't ever like not hear. I'm getting nervous. I ain't heard nothing here like this. But I have been told before in preaching, preacher, I don't like it when you use that word liberal. That bothers me. It probably does. It probably does. It don't bother me. Hello. I've never been bothered by preaching that didn't hit me. I just be real good and honest. You get preaching about committing adultery, I'm not there. Get talking about being drunk, I ain't drunk. I never get upset. I may holler at the fellow doing it and say, preach. Right? Why would a term liberal slant, modern slant, bother you if you're not leaning that way? Amen. I'm playing with the gospel plow today. We'll hit rocks and roots, but it'll be okay. For I'm telling you this morning that you're getting that leaning in you. You're leaning toward more of the things of God. You're more upset when a preacher gets preaching against certain sins now. Why is it you're leaning that way? Amen. Hey, he started out looking, then he began leaning down toward Sodom. Amen. Hey, I don't want to have a leaning toward the world and toward the things of this world. I want to keep my eyes on the Lord, keep going down the path of righteousness and holiness. That's the right way. You see, when you get leaning, you go ahead in the wrong direction. You go heading in the wrong direction. That's what's wrong with some of you. That's what's happened. You're done looking. You're done leaving out all the things of the people of God and the places of God now. And now you're beginning to lean more toward the world. Amen. Oh, yes. See, you're on a downward spiral just like Lot. He looked, he left, he's leaning. Then number four over there in Genesis 19, notice with me now, he's loose morally. For now he's down in Sodom. He is in leadership in Sodom. And when you come, these angels come and they're there to warn Lot to get him out of Sodom. And then the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed, fire and everything. We know that, but they come and he begs them to come into his house, and they do. But the wicked men of Sodom are still trying to get to those angels. And then when we come to verse 8, and verse 7 and 8, the Bible said, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have $2 which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Hey, he's loose morally now. How in the world can somebody that knows God get there? Well, look in your Bible, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you something about Lot. Again, Lot knew God. Lot is not a heathen. Lot is somebody that's been around what's right and what's real. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Now he's talking about how he spared not Noah's generation and sparing Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 6. Then he picks up verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, that's Lot, that's Lot, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with her unlawful deeds. You see, he vexed his soul by being around that crowd, seeing what they was doing, hearing what they was saying and doing. Hey, it vexed his righteous soul. Now I want to help you something. That word vexed, listen to this. Here's what the word vexed really means. Listen to me. It means to tear down with toil. It means to wear down, to exhaust with labor, to afflict or oppress with evils, to make trouble for, to treat roughly, to be harassed, to distress. See, that's what's going on in Lot's life. He's in a place, he's bombarded every day. Every day. He's been hit with all this stuff. You know what? Look at me a minute. This world's wicked. You can't get out of this world. And our country is more vile than it's ever been in its history. Hello? Every day, I'm going to say something. Like it or lump, it don't really matter. I'm not being mean, but I'm being real honest. I am sick of hearing about this transgender bathroom mess. It's wicked, it's ungodly, and they need to get right with God. I mean that. I make no apologies for that. I'm sick of hearing it. They're trying their best. They're just, what are they doing? They're beating on us every day. And what are they doing? They're getting people where they say, man, I'm just going to give. Ain't no use trying. That's what happened a lot. That is exactly what happened a lot. He was around it every day, and it just began to vex him more and more. And he finally said, man, I just can't take it no more. And he gave, and he wound up being loose. He said, who in their right mind would give their daughters to a bunch of vile men? Hello? Who in their right mind would do that? Somebody who's become vexed. Somebody that's this finest, well, I can't beat them, I'll join them. Hello? Hey, we're not going to be popular at Gateway. You need to settle that, because we stand on this Bible without apology. We believe what it said. We try to practice what it said. Therefore, the world is not going to love us. They're going to attack us. They're going to attack us. They're attacking the church now. I marvel at our nation. How we know Islam is not a peaceful religion. We know it. They can say what they, but they're always, oh, they're peaceful. I'm going to tell you something. If Christians ever start doing what they're doing, and we should not, it wouldn't be right. It is wrong. Hello. But we done it, they'd shut every church down before next Sunday. Wouldn't think twice about it. You listen to the preacher this morning? But we got a crowd that's they're already leaning that way. Hello. And you might as well admit it, know it, it's going on. Hey, do you know, listen to me right here. Let me just throw this out. Do you know I can't go into school and preach? I couldn't even go in and give a Bible away. But do you know school teachers in other states of this country are allowed to teach portions of the Quran, make their students memorize it, make them dress in the garb of the Islamic crowd? Oh, and they can't tell them no. You listen to the preacher? My heart's burdened this morning, because I'm telling people on a downward spiral here and across this country, and we can't do that. We need to say, God, help me to stay right with you. Hey, We find that he looked, he left, he leaned. Hey, he's loose morally. But then in Genesis 19, verse 15 through 16, we find he lingered. For the Bible goes on to say, now they come in and told him, we got to get out. We're going to destroy the city. Verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, arise, take that wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. You see, he's dragging his feet. The message of judgment's come. Wouldn't you think you'd want to run out of the city? Huh? Can I ask you something right now in the mindset you're in right now? If God gave the message, judgment begins at 1 o'clock today, it's going to start right in this building, would you not run out of this place? Huh? I believe you would. But they're not running. They're lingering. They're waiting. And the angels have to lay a hold of them and pull them out of that wicked place. You know what? Some of you right here today, I'm preaching my guts out to you. Some folk don't think, you know, they want to critique everything preachers do and the church does. And I want to tell you something. I pray and I labor in this book every day of every week. I study to preach to you, and God touched my heart to warn some of you that are on this downward spiral. And do you know what? You instead of you running it off, you're just sitting there already, well, I know I'll do better. But you ain't moving from where you're at. I'm going to give an invitation here in a few minutes. You ain't going to move. You ain't got no intentions of ever moving. Amen. I'm preaching right. I'm not preaching mad, and I don't hate nobody. I'm trying to warn you. Hey, if you was on the road with a bridge out and going to fall to your death, you sure would want somebody to stand there and scream at you, make sure you hear them. Stop! So don't you want a man of God that'll do that? I'll try my best to warn you. Right here today with the word of God. Lot's on a downward spiral and he's lingering. See, the world's got a stronghold on you. People act like all the time, this world, well, I can handle this world. No, you can't. I can't, you can't, nobody can. It'll get such a stronghold and a stranglehold on you. Hey, you right now, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Where are you at right now? Where are you at right now spiritually? You don't think the world got a stronghold on you? It does. It binds us. Hey, then let me say this in closing. That downward spiral left him with this sixth thing. He became a loser because he lost everything. He lost his family. That was in verse 24. It rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone fire. Hey, overthrew it. They're wiped out. Hey, Lot's got family in there. They died in the city. He gets out. They drag him out. What happens next? His wife looks back. Why? Her heart's in there. She's got children in there. Turns to a pillar of salt. We keep following Lot. He winds up in the cave with his two daughters and end up in incest. And we got two nations now that are still plaguing the world to this very morning. That's right. Oh, friend, hey, he lost his family. He lost his fortune. What he felt so important back there in Genesis 13 to hang on to, he ends up then losing it too. You listen to the preacher? I love you. I love you with all my heart. You say, preacher, you've only been here a year and a half. Hey, that ain't got nothing to do with loving folk. I'm going to tell you, somebody say, by the grace of God, loves people. And especially, I promise you that you will love the people of God. I don't beat on you. I'm trying to help you this morning. I want you to look at where you are right now. How do you stand before God? this morning. Oh, friend, we find he looked and he left and he leaned, he got loose and he lingered and he lost. Oh, you know what? Can I remind you something about the judgment day? Now, I won't say this, hear me. Saved people pay for their sin in this life. Because our sin, listen to me, sin was judged at Calvary. I'm not going to face that at the judgment seat. That ain't a sin question when I face the Lord one day. It's going to be a service question. What'd you do and why'd you do it? That's going to come up. You hear me? But there will be a crowd, according to those texts, saved yet so as by fire. No reward, but you're going to make it to heaven. I want to tell you something. When that scene of Revelation 4 starts taking place. Now, right now, you said, preacher, if I just make it to heaven, I don't have to have a crown. It's okay. Preacher, it'll be... You think that now. But I want to ask you, when a multitude that can't be numbered is surrounding the throne of God after that judgment seat for the believer, the crowns are given out and you don't get one because they are not door prizes. They're earned. Salvation is 100% free, but a crown is earned. All those are given out and that new song starts up. And folk automatically begin taking their crowns and casting them at the Savior's feet. You ain't got one, what are you going to do? Now, yeah, you'll get to sing the new song, but I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a few moments there. You're going to say, I wished I'd served God. I wished I hadn't went down that downward spiral as a backslid believer. I wished I'd stayed right with God. There's going to be a time, if you don't get right in this life, you're going to face that one day. Nothing to lay at the Savior's feet. Oh, friend, I want to have something to lay at His feet. I really do. I'm not perfect. Don't play like I am. I battle the same kind of flesh you battle. But you can't give up. You can't throw in a towel. You got to keep fighting this old rotten flesh. Go forward for the glory of God. Don't go down the downward spiral this morning. Father, take the message, use it for Thy glory. I've tried my best to preach what You told me to. Lord, I know that as far as flesh, this is not a message of enjoyment, but Lord, it's a message that's needful. Lord, help us, I pray, here today. God, touch our hearts, change our lives. Save souls in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach what the Lord told me to preach this morning. Not going to go into a long, drawn-out empty, but I would like to say, ask this question. Are you lost? Are you lost? And you're honest with yourself before the Lord, would lift a hand and say, preacher, that's me. I'm lost. I'm not saved. I see those young hands. Preacher, I'm lost. I don't know the Lord is Savior. Amen. I've preached to us that are saved. I'm not going to go down through a list of things. Let's stand. God's touched your heart. Will you respond? You say, what will those think around? Don't matter what they think. It's none of their business. It's you and God right now. You and God need to do business. Don't go down that downward spiral. Don't wreck your life and your testimony. Don't wind up losing what's precious to you right now. Walk close to the Lord. Stay away from what's pulling at you. Don't give in to the words of the world and the devil and the flesh. Oh, I beg and I urge you to do business with God this morning. Young people, middle age, seniors, I'm telling you, they're falling in every age group today. Folk that's been in this a long time are falling. But there's a beginning to that spiraling. Wherever you are, would you run to Christ. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, help me today. While we singing, folk are praying.